So this program is pre-recorded by one day, so I don't know what the outcome of the elections are at this point. By the time you're listening to this, they have already occurred, but I can't comment on them. So just in case, let's say that the Democrats took over just the House, congratulations, if that's the case, If the Democrats took over the House and pretty much evened up the Senate and then some, then congratulations there. Now, if the Democrats did not win back the House and did not win back the Senate, then there's this. I don't know how it turned out, because again, this is like I'm doing this a day early here. Even Alexa doesn't know the answer to that.
Sorry, I don't know that.
I know that. So, that being said, have a nice day.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
You can be sure I'll be commenting on Thursday's show.
Whatever.
You don't care?
Good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Oh, I see.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very, very much. Welcome to the program. Relax, take it easy, whatever. Just, you know, whatever. Alisa Carey joins us a little bit later on in the program. She is a New York gal. She's a New York fashion designer. I'm a Boston suburb talk show host. So what? Well, sometimes our views are simpatico, sometimes they're not. So we'll find out what's happening with her today. Last week's conversation was pretty heavy, I understand, from my audience here. So we're going to lighten it up a little bit. Every single one of us go through the problem of having to do the small talk at cocktail receptions with your neighbors, with people you haven't seen in a while, even with your spouse, your boyfriend, your girlfriend. Small talk comes into play all the time. And we're going to talk about that coming up a little bit later in the show, so you can look forward to that. If you care, look forward to something. I'm having a battle right now with my leaves. I do live in a Boston suburb. And I spend just about every other day blowing my leaves. Hey, what does that mean? Well, the end of last season, I bought a leaf blower. It's very funny how certain things excite me. I just get a thrill out of blowing leaves around. I don't know what it is. Maybe because I'm acting like a leaf bully, but there's something so satisfying to turning on this leaf blower and just blowing leaves all over the place. I don't know what it is. I'm perplexed by that. I enjoy blowing things off of things. Sometimes there's these little pine needle things that are in my driveway. I don't like stuff in my driveway. I get out my leaf blower and I blow those things right off the driveway, and I get excited. I actually stand there and cheer. It's very, very, I don't know what's gotten into me. I'm blowing everything with my leaf blower, not just leaves. If I see some kids playing in the street and I don't particularly care for them, I'll walk up to them and I'll blow them off their bicycles. I don't care. Sometimes I go flying 6-7 feet. It's kind of pretty. It's very graceful. They don't appreciate it. But the power of my leaf blower just astounds me. I love blowing things off. I do. Sometimes I'll just point my leaf blower in the direction of like down the street and see how many things I can topple over from my own property. It's just, it's a good time, man. Yeah. The winter is coming up upon us, and I know all of us are going to get very excited about the first snowfall. That's something else we get excited about here in the Northeast. You don't understand that in various parts of the country. Personally, I'd rather see snowflakes fall down all over my lawn than to see a tornado pick up my trailer into the next town. I'm not into the tornado thing, excuse me, but I like the power of a leaf blower, but a tornado's going a little overboard wind-wise, I think. I think that's kind of like crossing the line. I don't mind blowing kids off of bicycles, but blowing houses off their foundation and picking them up, moving them to another town or city, that's too much. That's where I draw the line. It's very funny how people react to the first snowfall. It's usually not a heavy snowstorm. It's just rain that kind of turns snowflakey, and it doesn't even really stick to the ground. And even though we see snow every single year in the Northeast, it's like it never happened before. Look, look, Bobby, it's snowing outside. Can you believe it? I don't know how to explain it. How does that happen? I've never seen snow before. Yes, you did. You saw a lot of it last season, last year. Give me a break. Oh, my God. Martha, come to the window. Look, it's actually snowing.
Oh, my God, snow. How does that happen? What's the scientific explanation for that? I've never seen that for a long time.
It's my impression of a woman, by the way. Sounds like a woman that smoked like a carton of cigarettes every day. That's about as... I can't get much breathier than that to imitate the woman voice that I do. We get shocked at things that happen that we're really kind of used to, actually. It's just amazing. You know, like, did you hear about Susan and Tommy? No, what's going on? Oh, they're having problems. They may get divorced. Oh, my God! Divorced? No one does that. That's unbelievable. They're actually not getting along? How is that possible on this planet, that two human beings can't get along? This is a phenomenal piece of news. We get so floored about things that are really so obvious. I'll never forget the first time that I had liver. My mother was a horrible cook, but she believed that it was very healthy to eat your own organs. And not that I ate my own liver. I mean, it was a cow's liver, I assume. But I don't particularly enjoy eating organs. Call me crazy. I'd rather donate them. You know, I don't know. So she would take a slab of liver from a cow that she would get from the butcher or the supermarket. I don't think they sell that stuff anymore. They probably do, but not many people buy it. And she would actually put it on a baking pan and just put it in a 350-degree oven and bake it until it was the consistency of shoe leather. And then she would serve it to us. And the only condiment that was available to eat with the liver was mustard. I don't care how much you like mustard. Nothing's going to make liver taste good. Not a slab of shoe leather liver. So, and the reason I say that is that when I tell people this story, they're shocked. You know people don't eat liver. If you eat liver, if you eat a slab of liver, the entire organ, raise your hand. Look, nobody raised their hand. Now, some people eat chopped liver, which is a consistency of, oh, how can I put it tastefully? Shit. Chopped liver is actually the most disgusting looking food there actually is. I've talked about this before. When I go to my local supermarket, they have a bowl of chopped liver in the deli case. And it's just absolutely disgusting. There is no difference between chopped liver and what my dog does on a rainy day on the lawn. I mean, I assume it tastes different, but I'm not going to find out. I do eat chopped liver. It has to be very well prepared, but as I do eat it, I say to myself, this is beyond it. This is really, really, they've got to somehow dress up this chopped liver so it doesn't look like I'm eating a mound of shit. That's pretty much what it is, though. I love my dogs. Only problem is that they love to kiss my face. And I think it's adorable. When they kiss my face, man, it's just like heaven came down and made a deposit on my face. It's just a very nice thing. The dog loves me and licks me. It's a kiss. I know, it's a dog kiss is what licking is.
Aww.
Yeah. But then I'm immediately disturbed by that. Because my dog will go outside, take a crap on the lawn, and then lick it. So, here's the point. The next time your dog licks your face, realize your dog also licks its own excrement and finds that to be acceptable as well. What are we saying? Well, either excrement smells and looks like my face to my dog, or I taste like excrement. One way or the other, all of a sudden, that compliment turned into quite an insult. Still love my dog, can't figure out the licking thing. Someday, perhaps, someone will explain that to me, because right now it's confusing me. Sometimes my dog will sit in my lap and just cuddle up and you know, just lick my arm and be all warm and fuzzy, and my dog will just get so excited to be near me, and it's such a bonding connection that the two of us have exclusively.
Aww.
Then a stranger comes into my home like a plumber to fix a leak in my hot water tank, and the dog will see the plumber come into the house and will jump on the plumber and want to be petted by the plumber and lick the plumber's leg. And all of a sudden, I'm realizing I'm no much better to my dog than a strange plumber. So there again, my hopes and dreams and connections have been dashed. What does all this mean? Nothing. All I'm saying is it's annoying. That's all I'm saying. Coming up in just a minute, we're going to join Alicia Carey, and we're going to talk about small talk. I have a problem with it. It's one of my pet peeves, speaking of pets. I do not like small talk. I'm not talking about small talk. And hey, let's just talk to Alicia now. What the hell? Let's go. It's time for Chit Chat.
Everybody talks, everybody talks.
Hey, it's time for a Chit Chat with Alicia Carey. She joins us now. How are you? Stop laughing whenever I say that.
Because you say my name so well.
Oh, well, that's the way you say it, isn't it?
Yeah, no, you don't. That's another story. But yeah, people don't pronounce my name. They say Alicia or Alicia whatever. Anyways.
No. Yeah, they always call me Rune by mistake.
Rune, is that it?
No, they don't. Okay. They don't. I'm only kidding. Okay. We're talking about something that is quite bothersome to me, actually, and I'm looking for a way out, and that's small talk. You know, we're both in the business where we have to do a lot of talking.
Yeah.
And meeting and greeting. And sometimes it's kind of phony, sometimes it's not. And I don't know. Do you run into a lot of that?
I'm exactly what you just said. I don't like small talk. I hate small talk, but I do it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And for business. But when I'm in a social environment,
yeah.
I mean, you're very, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Effervescent personality. Bubbly.
Right.
I find myself, you know, honestly, not working the room as much as people think because of the fact that I don't like small talk. But I do, the thing about small talk is it forces you to listen. You know what I mean? What do you think? Like when somebody comes up to me, for example, and they'll say something at a party. Okay, right now, we're coming up to the season of small talk, like holiday parties. That's the small talk.
I like that.
Olympics, right?
Yes, it is the small talk. Hey, this is pretty good. I like these titles.
So what I do is, this is my tip.
Yeah.
I'm not advising for everybody.
Yeah.
But I belly up to the bar. That's the first thing. I'm not going to lie to you, because that just loosens the inhibitions. I'm not saying, drink your way through it. But I'm saying a nice little libation. You know, whatever your poison, eggnog, or a glass of wine, you know, if that helps lower it, so you can actually tolerate a conversation you might not necessarily tolerate another time, but it forces me to listen. When I do small talk, I'm so uncomfortable that I'm just smiling with that, you know, that frozen smile, and I listen. So if they say that their name is Rune or Ron or Alicia, I'm like this, oh, that's a nice name. Where did it come from? So it makes, I make other people do the talking with small talk. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense. I can't engage in small talk. I think people can see the expression on my face, like I'm looking for the exit signs. And I know that that's not socially acceptable. So I do that too. I think I'm more awkward with it. I can read when someone's giving me small talk for the sake of small talk, and then I'm totally uncomfortable because I think we got two uncomfortable people here that are just doing what's in the book, and I don't know how to get around that.
Well, let me tell you what happens to me when I do small talk too. I'm like you. I say stuff that I would normally not say.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like I invite people to lunch or I give them my business card. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm crazy. They're like, how are you? I'm like, I'm doing great. Listen, would you like my card? Would you like to come to my house? Would you like to walk my dog? Where are you going for a vacation?
Oh my goodness.
Really? The Bahamas? Yeah, come. Let's do it together.
Oh,
let's do a group. But I do. I'm like you. Small talk makes us so it throws you on your side like a turtle.
Yes.
So I start saying anything. But I'm going to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Have you ever done small talk, but it turned out to be good talk? Do you know what I mean? Like small talk originally was awkward, but turned out to be a relationship or a situation that was positive for you down the long run.
Yeah. Well, actually, the answer to the question, no. My attempt in the small talk thing is to turn it into something a little bit more about what's going on or a little bit more depth, and that doesn't take much. You could do that with like a little shovel. But I immediately try to find something that's common ground that we can actually talk about something or relate an opinion. I can't stay on the small talk thing. And I guess I'm the opposite. I go backwards. Like if they say they're going on vacation to Florida, I pretty much say, good for you. It's just, I don't know how to respond. Like, what do you want me to say to that? I wish there was a book of small talk responses and I could
There's gotta be, or we can write them. But I'll tell you what I do too with small talk. I do like ugly baby small talk. You ever, so It's like, so this is what I do. So instead of calling the baby ugly,
yes,
no offense to parents out there all around the world,
yeah,
I will compliment the sweater or personality, you know. So that's how I do my small talk. So they're like, so I will be like, hi, how are you? And they're like, hi, how are you? And then I'm like, that's a nice sweater, you know. Or,
oh, okay. Well, that's, or, yeah, that's, or, endearing. Yes.
Or you know, so that's how I get around. That's how I make them do it, because I can't. If I say small talk, I will say the wrong thing. I've been known to say the wrong thing,
yeah,
at the wrong time. So I just, like I said, I try to shut my mouth,
yeah,
and let them engage in it. But there should be a book of small talk. I agree. And I think there's one out there. There's got to be a book of small talk that helps you to navigate a party,
yeah,
or, no offense, or a funeral or a wedding. You ever get, okay, talk about the worst small talk situation.
Yeah.
How about getting stuck at a table?
Yes.
At a wedding.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
nobody. And
yes,
all you can say to,
yeah,
yourself is, where's the drinks?
Yeah.
Like, all you can say to yourself is, oh, so where do you know the bride from? Where do you know the groom from? And you're like, this is the worst. This is the worst. That's why sometimes I don't go to weddings, for that table shuffle,
yep,
that small talk table Olympics.
Well, I always make believe I go with somebody, even if I don't like them, because I need somebody to have conversation with, just in case nothing's going to happen. Because there's nothing worse than people having conversation at a table, and then you're the only one that's not in it. And then, you know, you pull out the cell phone, who's kidding who at that point, and you just start checking your pedometer and see how many steps you walked. You know,
well, you just nailed it. You just nailed it.
Yeah.
Thank God for cell phones, because cell phones are not only the small talk, what's the word I'm looking for? It's the small talk rescuer, you know, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, it is.
Because you can pretend to talk to your mom. If nobody's on the phone, if nobody's on the phone, I pull out that, nobody has to be on the phone for me. You know, I'm in the business. I'm in PR, entertainment, fashion. I can talk, I can do it. I can do whatever I gotta do. I can be, you know, so I'm just like, hi, how are you doing, mom? Or, oh yes, I can, I'll pick up the dog food on the way home. Whatever I gotta say to get out of a conversation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Small talk is our,
go ahead.
Yeah, well, the problem is, I will engage people as best I can. I can't walk up to somebody and say, that's a nice sweater, because I'll sound weird. You're in the business. You're a female. You can get away with that stuff. I can't go that route. So what I do is I try to find something that we have in common, and then I will relate. Like I will say, on my talk show last week, I found out that artificial sugars are actually very bad for you, as the person's drinking their artificial sugar drink. And I try to get into conversation that way. But sometimes I watch their, I'm too observant. I watch their eyes. And if their eyes are not focused on what I'm saying and they start straying to the side, I know I've lost them. And at that point, I say to myself, what's the point of continuing with my little story? And then there's a total disconnect. The only thing I can do with my cell phone is say, I don't know how to do this on my cell phone. Do you know? Because we all have cell phones. So I figure, all right, we got something in common here. So that's what I use. I say, I don't know how to block this person. And they go, oh, give me your phone. Let me show you how. Then I've got something going. As surface as that still is, at least I got something going.
Well, you're doing the right thing, and I've got something for you. I've got a little bit of help for you. I've got a tip that I remember back in the day somebody told me.
Mm-hmm.
One, when you meet somebody in a small talk time, you, one, say their name as often as you can, because that is a great way it makes you feel warm and fuzzy, you know, when somebody remembers your name.
Correct.
So remember their name and say it during every conversation.
Correct.
You know Alicia, you know Ron,
and
that's going to engage them. And another thing you just mentioned, body language, keep eye contact. What about that? If you keep eye contact with somebody, they're going to be, maybe by doing those two things, or and even face them. You know, sometimes we tend to kind of turn away from somebody.
Yeah.
Face them, give them your attention, keep their eye contact, say their name a lot.
Yeah.
And that may be, what do you think? That might warm them up, so that it goes from, like, you know, fluffy, nothing conversation to something a little bit more in depth. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. You're right on two counts. One is to engage them, say their name as much as you can. And it also makes me remember their name because I'm really famous for like totally forgetting somebody's name within 10 seconds. I have no idea who they are. So, and I hate name tags. So yeah, that's number one. Number two is alcohol. That's absolutely true. Without alcohol, I mean, you know, you don't want to abuse it or anything, but it keeps your hands busy. And it also makes you, it makes those people a little more, it doesn't do much to me, but makes them a little more conducive.
Well, let me put it this way. My peoples, and I mean my peoples, meaning my ancestors,
yes.
They have a saying, and I'll tell you, you'll know where my peoples is. It's red label beer. That'll give you a clue to my ancestors.
Yeah, gotcha now.
And they say that red label beer, there's an advertising sign that they have that says it's been bringing ugly people together for the last 500 years. Like, yeah, alcohol is a great... I'm not saying ugly people make chit-chat, but I'm just saying... what's what I'm looking for? I'm just saying alcohol is a nice little icebreaker in any occasion, especially in difficult or uncomfortable situations like chit-chat. But I have one more thing to say about chit-chat. Yeah. Have you ever been in a chit-chat, not chit-chat, we're chit-chatting, but a, what's what I'm looking for, small talk with somebody, and they're totally off the rails, like they've left the reservation, like they're talking like out their butt, if you will, and they're saying the dumbest things.
Yes.
And you're like, you're crazy. Like, I've been in the, but rather than say you're crazy, I'm just kind of like, I have that pasted thing on my face, and I smile, like, they're like, ever since 1908, we've had a majority, what are you talking about? Or they read something that's completely factually wrong.
Yes.
You know, and I'm like, have you ever been in that kind of like small talk where they're just crazy?
Constantly. And that's again when I back off. See, I start feeling bad for myself when I start agreeing with them, and because that's the easy thing to do is say,
sometimes I agree. Sometimes I do.
Or they'll say something totally not funny that I don't even understand, but I will do the fake laugh to show that I have responded to their engagement, even though that wasn't funny at all. And then I turn on myself. I go, Ron, you're fake. You're acting fake. You're being fake. It's a very difficult thing, and sometimes it depends on my mood. And if I have alcohol, I'm a little bit better off.
Yeah, but you're right. But you just said something that I think is, I talk to myself when I'm being too fake too. I'm like Alicia, come on, come on, you're being really fake. Or when I agree with somebody that I don't agree about anything that they're saying, I'm like, I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you did that. I beat myself up a little bit when I do really bad. Small talk.
I know. It's just small talk is small talk, and that's just the way it is, I guess. And I don't know.
It's a cross to bear.
It is a cross to bear. I have the same problem you do. I go to a lot of functions because I do what I do, and they expect me to be lively and humorous and the life of the party. And no, I'm just like a guy that kind of can't stand you. So it just don't work out too well.
Doesn't that scare you? Let you think how many people out there that talk to each other that really secretly can't stand them? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Doesn't that scare you a little bit?
I'll tell you a quick funny story. When I was living in New York, and this is how old I am pretty much, I was friends with Johnny Carson. You know who he is, I assume.
Of course.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't, oddly enough. I used to manage movie theaters across the street from Bloomingdale's, Cinema 1, Cinema 2. Those are my theaters. I used to manage them, and we would do premieres there. And Johnny Carson used to come there and to go to the shows, and we'd have to wait till the lights were down, and then we'd sneak him into the theater. And he sat in my office while he was waiting for the lights to go down so no one would recognize him, and then we'd sneak him in. So we would have conversations. There was a guy you'd think was like on top of the world and control of everything. I had never in my life to this day met somebody more shy, awkward, didn't know what to say, constantly was tapping things and looking around. He was like mentally, like totally socially unfit.
Wow.
Unless he was on television behind his desk. It was very, very odd. So you don't know. You just don't know.
That's scary. But I understand.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's your chit chat for today. I, even if we didn't solve anybody's problem, at least we recognize that we all go through this, and don't feel like you're the one out in left field. We're all out in left field pretty much.
Or need a drink to get through a really amazingly right. bad small talk.
Or even brushing your teeth. That's you need a drink for that, too. So till next time, she's Alicia Carey, and thanks for doing the chit-chat. Everybody talks, everybody talks. Interesting stuff, man. Telling you. You know, when you have conversations like this, it makes you think. That's why I do this show. A lot of people say, Ron, why do you do this show? I understand there's some monetary gain for you in this kind of thing. Yeah, but is that why I do this? Yeah, but is there some other redeeming value to it? No, but can you make believe that there is? Sure. The redeeming value would be that it stimulates your brain. You get to talk about things that people don't necessarily talk about that don't really make a lot of sense. Does it solve anything? No. Does it make you feel better? No. Does it entertain you? No. Is there a point to it? No. Did I waste your time? Yes. Are you asking too many questions of yourself? Yes. Is that a psychotic type of thing to do? Of course it is. Are you doing it for any particular reason? Yes. Is it for monetary gain and value? Of course. Would you do it otherwise? No. Would you stop asking yourself questions? No. Does it give you some kind of pleasure to ask yourself questions? Yes. Is it because you think someone is talking to you, but they're really not? Yes. You like to be talked to even if it's not by somebody else? Yes. Okay, that's enough of the questions. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.